My name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 13th of August 2009 and the time is 10:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name is Joanna Williams. My date of birth is the 11th of October 1984 and I am from London.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth today?
Nervous. Butterflies in the stomach, but very excited. I think, as a Londoner, this is the epitome of ones. This is my city, and this is it's one of its most impressive landmarks. So it's a brilliant opportunity.
How did you first hear about the project?
I can't remember, but I did have the date that the ballot opened in my diary in order to do it. So it must have been at the beginning. I heard about it through looking at the short list of six for the plinth when that came out. So what was that, 6 months ago?
So had you been following things that happened on the plinth before this project?
Yes, because I live here, I've had that brilliant opportunity, and I always thought it an incredible idea. And my favourite prior to this, because obviously this will now become my favourite, but my favourite prior to this was Ecce Homo or the Rachel White Read, because they were so different and yet it meant very similar things. And I think the idea of having such a substantial art project but one that's dynamic and changes gives it such longevity, and it's a great addition to the landscape. So I suppose that's how I knew what was going on.
And is that what is it that appealed to you and wanted you to take part?
Unmissable opportunity, unique opportunity, something that I'll always be able to say I did, but also, as the chap who's on the plinth now said, the view. And I hadn't even thought about the view until this morning, but yeah, the ability to have that view and to be part of this city, which for me is home, always will be, and I think is perfect.
And is the setting then and it being in Trafalgar Square significant for you?
I think it is, because I think when you start getting friends who live out of London, it's one of the places where you say you'll meet them. It's either under the clock at Waterloo Station or by Nelson's Column, because they're so symbolic and iconic. And I think it's one of the most beautiful urban landscapes. It's our Plaza Mayor, and so, yes, the situation of it, I think, makes it very special.
And when you first heard that you had an hour on the plinth, how did you react?
Ran up the stairs screaming at my sister, I'm on the plinth, I'm on the plinth, oh my god, I'm on the plinth! I told everyone I knew that day, and if they didn't get the right reaction, I just wouldn't talk to them. So I only tell people who I know will be excited by it. I was overjoyed. I was thrilled. Because it's just so exciting. So then I had to realise, then I kind of was like, oh gosh, what am I going to do on said plinth? And it became less exciting.
Have you had a number of thoughts or ideas about what you'll do?
I just wanted to read my newspaper, because it says it's a reflection of people, or of human society, humankind, or of the British. My favourite thing to do is read my newspaper, and I think the British press and the strength of the British paper press is such that is ingrained in most Brits. But then I was told very politely by my friends that there's no point coming to watch me sit and read a newspaper. So hopefully, if all goes to plan, we are going to have live, interactive audience participation Shakespeare. Hopefully.
Could you talk me through that a little bit then? What is it exactly that you'll be doing?
We've got one of two concepts. Either we're going to do certain scenes from Much Ado About Nothing, but that depends if Benedict turns up, and I'm not sure if he will. Or we are going to do excerpts from Shakespeare that rely upon height differentials in their actual staging. So the obvious one being Romeo, Romeo, Wherefore Art Thou? We'll probably start with that. Oberon overlooking the four lovers when Puck's put the juice into the wrong eyes. So now everyone loves Helena, and Hermia's very cross, and Helena's even more cross. Friends, Romans, countrymen. maybe a bit from The Tempest, maybe a bit of Henry V. We'll just see how it goes. And then maybe if no one turns up, then I'll just read my newspaper.
And what was the main reason for you choosing to do that?
That there were people who wanted to come and be involved, and it's so flattering and so supportive and so exciting that those people want to be involved. But I can't just ask. There's no point sitting on the plinth having a conversation with them than I normally have with them. It's got to be a little bit more exciting. So, and, you know, this art, I suppose, is one of the questions of this entire project. So ours is Much Ado About Trafalgar Square, and that's our piece of art, and let's see if we can make it into art.
So you said initially you wanted to go up there and sit and read the paper quietly. That would have been your thing.
I would have been very happy with that.
Now you've involved other people in this, so it's become a project. It's like you keep referring to it as we and something that you're doing with friends. Has that been a positive thing? Looking back, do you prefer that you've chosen to do that?
Yes, I much prefer now, thinking about it, that we get to play with it. Because, you know, a lot of my friends, the director of the play that kind of I was in that kicked all of this off is coming. So he is going to direct this piece of street theatre, and that is a very positive thing because that gives everyone the opportunity to enjoy this experience, even if they're not on the plinth. They can laugh at me on the plinth, or they can shout at me on the plinth. So I think it is a very positive development, yeah.
Are you an actor by profession?
No, I'm a student. I'm an eternal student. I am training to become a barrister. So, yes, I'm a failed actor by professional choice, I think. No, I do amateur dramatics and enjoy it very much, but no, not the career choice.
And is it something that you've always done as a pastime?
Yeah. I started it at school and, you know, all the way through. Got back into it. Currently looking towards the pantomime that I'm producing in Christmas. So it's there in my life as a thread.
And how do you have the time to do this, training to be a barrister at the same time?
I don't necessarily place my schoolwork in the in its primary position. I just did my law conversion, which is the worst year of your life, my life especially, and I decided I needed something very positive and very different to do. That didn't take up that much time, but gave me a massive amount of success, and personal success and satisfaction. So that's why I fitted in.
And have you ever considered a career in it, or has it always been?
That's why I'm doing this on the plinth. You know, I'm hoping that Hollywood director is going to walk past, be like, oh, stop, come with me. No, I haven't, not really. Everyone wants to, though. You know, everyone wants to be a professional sportsman, an astronaut, or an actor. And I think mine would be an actor if I had to have the big dream. But
what is it about acting that you enjoy?
The language, the structure, the incredible language that's used, the great people that you get to play with, because really acting is playing, I would say, about 90% of it. And then that real sensation when you know you've just nailed something and you know the audience is completely enraptured by. They don't see you doing it. They don't see a village group doing this play. They are in there with you. And that's a great feeling. I think that's why I like it.
And what kinds of things have you been in or done as part of an amateur dramatics group?
Panto. Lots of thigh slapping. Principal boy in a panto. We do a range of stuff. I've done Shakespeare. I've done Stoppard. I've done musicals, Guys and Dolls, brilliant. Cyrano de Bergerac, probably the hardest thing I've ever done, just because of the sheer line learning that I had to do for that. And also I did that when I was about 18. And so when you're 18, trying to understand the finer parts of Cyrano de Bergerac, you haven't quite got the emotional maturity, I don't think. But we pulled it off. So, yeah, it's been a range.
Does the acting that you do help with the field that you're studying and want to work in any way?
Gives you a great court voice. I think it does because of the language and the structure, as I was saying. You know, when you're preparing submissions for court, you've got to be able to grasp a judge's attention. You've got to be able to put your salient points out quickly. You've got to be able to develop them well. And I think acting gives you partly that, but also the confidence to say, well, even if I haven't got it all quite right, I will be able to engage with this person because I know how to... the engaging with the audience, because in the end, the judge is your audience. So that element of it, I think, will cross over, hopefully very nicely, into my career.
And are you confident about being in front of people and talking?
We'll find out. We will find out in about 25 minutes. I'm really lucky that these other people are coming down, because that will make it easier. Once we just start, and hopefully people are laughing and giggling and enjoying themselves, so hopefully it'll be okay.
How many people do you have coming?
Between 10 and 20. I don't know. I kind of know that some of them are coming. We'll just have to see. It may just be me and two other people, and my mum and dad, just in the corner.
And how will they be involved on the ground? They'll be playing some of the roles.
They will be acting it out. But this is all going to be quite interesting. I don't know how many copies of Shakespeare we have. They're going to be playing, and then they'll have their own audience made up of the people who haven't got roles, and hopefully it'll come together in this incredible synergy of dynamic artistry, or it could be really embarrassing.
Do you have any expectations about going up on the plinth and doing this?
I'm hoping not to swear. That is one of the expectations, that I'll get there. My breath will be taken away by the view, and an expletive will emanate across the internet, which is not something I'm looking for. Do I have any expectations? I hope it's brilliant. I do mind if I make a total fool of myself, but I would just like to come down there with a huge smile on my face. I hope it's a positive experience.
And what impact would you like to have by going up and doing this?
I've been in two minds about the people who used it as a charitable vehicle, those who've used it as a soapbox and those who've used it as their own experience. I'm firmly on the fence of the... or firmly over the fence, almost, into the personal experience. I completely understand why people are using it as a charitable vehicle. And it's the most incredible tribute to the charities that they work with for, and I would understand why I could do it. But I don't necessarily think that I'm there to make an impact. I'm there to experience the surroundings myself. And I think the impact that people are making is this incredible upsurge of wanting to be involved, the massive public support that there is for it. Of course, I'm a sculpture. I'm a statue in Trafalgar Square for an hour. That's my impact, I think. That would be my way of looking at it.
And what would you like to take away from the experience for yourself?
Smile, some amazing memories, good giggle. I'd like to have a good giggle on it. And then come off and go and find a glass of champagne.
Have you been watching online?
I have since I found out that I was going on. I've been kind of on and off, only for 2 or 3 minutes, 5, 6 minutes, and I think it's incredible the range of stuff that people are doing, and the way that it's become so quickly embedded into the culture here.
Do you think that we're seeing a representation of the people of Britain today?
Yeah, I think you are. I think definitely are. I think there are those who are using it. Everyone's using it in different ways, and I think everyone's using it thus far. I think everyone I've seen is using it in a very positive way, which is quite un-British, isn't it? But yes, I think it is.
And were you aware of Anthony Gormley before this?
Yes. Yes, I have long, long enjoyed Anthony Gormley's work. One of the true benefits in London is you get that, all the opportunities to see those things. So, yeah, I have done. I think we should mount a campaign to get the figures in Crosby down onto the Thames. I think that's the next thing that needs to be done. I went to the Hayward exhibition last year. And I can't remember what school, which was really embarrassing, but that was brilliant. So yeah, that's partly one of the reasons that I wanted to do it.
And what does it mean to you to have this opportunity and to be one of the 2,400 people going up on the plinth?
Honoured. Very honoured. Kind of flabbergasted now I'm here that this actually is going to have permanence. I think that's the other thing. It's a very transient experience when you're doing it, but it's going to have permanence at the end. That's quite exciting, but also quite... it's a privilege to be doing this, basically. Yeah, it's a privilege.
Could you tell me a little bit more about how you got into wanting to be a barrister and into law?
I wanted to be a barrister most of my late school career. Went to uni, did not do law, did international relations, which was glorious and brilliant. And the law is an incredibly dynamic, fascinating, challenging area, and the bar, being able to dress up to go to work, you can't really beat that. The people are amazing, the institutions and the traditions are fantastic. And the way in which the profession works, the advocacy, it's all just wonderful and perfect, and you know, gives you warm fuzzy feelings. That's why I wanted to go to the bar.
And how long of your studies do you have left?
Got another year of bar school. Then I've got to get pupillage. So it's probably another 2.5 years before I'm actually settled firmly, job, all perfect. But it should be worth it in the end.
And do you get a lot of practical experience through your course?
Not last year, because last year I was just in a law degree. This year, yes. That's what this year is about. So you do the law, however you do law, and then you either go and do your solicitor's course or you go and do your barrister's course. And they're tailored to how the professions work and the requirements of them.
And what would be your ambition then for the future?
Oh, God. Personal and professional success. World peace, obviously. Don't know yet. I would say personal professional success. And move out of home. Those are probably my three ambitions at the moment.
What are the things that are important to you personally?
Oh, God. Well, God, I suppose. No, I wouldn't necessarily put it at the top of the list, but that was the first thing that came to mind. Friends, family, drive, excitement, but not, just continual stimulus of any variety, and satisfaction in the paths that I've chosen, I would say.
You've obviously got friends down today because you've got them involved. What have your family's reactions been to you doing this?
They're very excited. I'm quite concerned that they're going to be there entirely. But no, my sisters are both coming out of work to watch it. My parents coming up. So, no, it should be. They're very excited. They think it's an incredibly interesting opportunity.
And who would you say that you're doing it for mentally?
Myself. It is a truly selfish experience, hence why I only wanted a debt-only newspaper.
And when you had to put your profile up on the website, you were asked for 3 words that described you. How would you describe yourself here and now?
I much prefer it when you say, can you get your friends to describe you? How would I describe myself? Strong. Gregarious and compassionate. I don't know, those are 3 dreadful words.
And how would you summarise your experience of this project since you first heard that you had a place and to this moment, not long before you were due up on the plinth? How's that journey been for you?
It's actually been a journey. I didn't think at the beginning one should necessarily describe it as such, but it has been, because it's been like, oh, cool, excellent, oh my God, oh crap, oh shit, right, bugger, got to find what I'm going to do. Oh, okay, right. Train this morning with my brightly coloured deck chair. And I was like, oh crap, I'm on the plinth. And then all the other people kind of saying, wow, this is so exciting, this is so cool, I'll watch you, this is going to be great. And all of a sudden you realise, oh, it does have meaning. So I think it has been a journey. It's so positive, but yeah, it's, let's hope it comes to fruition in a good fashion.
Brilliant, thank you.
Thank you.